Meeting is up here. Do the roll call.
Hanson?
Here.
Anzo?
Present.
Doty?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Coffey? Peterson, Tinglestad.
Peterson's excused.
Excused and Tinglestad's excused.
Thank you, there is a quorum, and we have minutes from the last meeting. Representative Anzo, did you review the minutes?
I completely reviewed the minutes and the entire team in there. So move it.
Representative Anzo moves the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Minutes are approved. Well, thank you, members and members in the audience. This will be our last meeting during the session of the Watersheds, Wetlands, and Buffer Protection Subcommittee. And I think it's fitting today, one of the reasons that the subcommittee was formed was in response to the Legislative Auditor's Report in January of 2007. Last year during the legislative session, we took a number of actions relating to oversight and accountability relating to the Board of Water and Soil Resources. And so today we're going to have a report on progress relating to those initiatives that we passed last year and look at where we're at, where we're going. And would Mr. Jaschke come forward? To
good afternoon, members. Mr. Chairman, members, John Jaschke, Executive Director, Board of Water and Soil Resources. And with me is Don Buckhoff, who's our program coordinator. You'll be hearing from him when I'm done with this. Don't speak for too long. As Chairman mentioned, the report that we're here to talk about today is the response to Legislative Auditor's Report from January of last year, which analyzed some the variety of local governments that are responsible for water management, making plans and recommendations, and many of those recommendations have been incorporated into this program, which we're calling Performance Review and Assistance Program, or PREP, as you may later hear referred to. So the report came out in January. I'm going to walk through a little chronology to help remember kind of how we got to this point. In the full report, which has this light blue cover on it, on page two of that report, are the guiding principles which Bowser adopted shortly after the report came out, and are what we use to help work with the legislature on putting together the provisions that were ultimately adopted last session. And those same guiding principles are to continue to be used to develop the program in partnership with the folks on our development team, which Don will talk about a little bit later. So those principles have stuck with us, and we still believe that they're the strongest part of this. If we adhere to those principles, that the state and the local responsibilities will be in balance and effective. I think those are both important points. And I'm not going to walk through those. You can read them on your own, but the main ones in there, if I want to highlight a few, were that it would be preemptive and systematic, that we do this not in reaction to problems, but in trying to look at ways to identify and diagnose problems and solve them early in the system before they become, you know, bigger than they need to be. The other part of it, you know, it talks about transparency, that local governments, like many others, are you need to do everything they can to engage and involve the citizenry who put them in those positions of responsibility. And so those are some of the key guiding principles that we used, and we will continue to use those, I see, in the foreseeable future. As I mentioned, legislation was adopted last May in Appendix A of the report. You don't have to return to that now, but there's a new provision in statute, Minnesota Statute 103B.102, which describes the basis and the process that we are to use to accomplish what we originally were calling oversight and accountability for local water management. One of the things that we'll need to deal with down the road is that there's a requirement that we do a certain evaluation at least every 5 years. Of course, there's a staffing effort that entails, and of course, if we're going to be out looking for things and analyzing, we need to have the means to follow through with the assistance that may, in some cases, be needed or wanted. And the part of legislation that was passed last year did include a $100,000 appropriation to get the program launched, and the primary use of that funding has been to hire our program administrator, Don Buckhout here, he was the first person we hired after the session ended last year in our staffing plan, and he's got considerable skills in knowing what local water management is about. From both a local and state perspective, he worked with a number of water districts in northwestern Minnesota prior to coming to Bowser. He worked for the DNR for quite a few years prior to that, doing environmental review and some other things. He's got some credentials in mediation and strategic planning that are important to the position, and certainly has also had a lot of work with water management organizations on their project development. And so where we're at now is we've formed a program advisory team that Don has led over the past number of months. At least one person here from that team in the audience, may want to speak to the details later, but Don's on board and he's leading this team forward, and we will have him explain some of the things that have been accomplished and that are yet to be accomplished. Before I turn over to him, I want to just highlight it's not in the report, but there's a principle that is known as the Hawthorne effect, and it was a kind of an experiment, I guess, that was done back in the prior century, 20th century, I guess that would be, at a place called Western Electric, where they had a big factory, as many of the workers were in the old days, and they did an experiment to see how they could make them the most productive, and of course, the big factory had lights in it, and they would, on occasion, turn the lights either a little brighter or a little dimmer, and they were able to track productivity. They noticed that in either case, the workers were more productive whenever they either turned lights up or they turned them down. And it was because, ultimately not because of the lights being changed, but because they knew someone actually cared enough to watch what they were doing. And that's kind of what this is about, that we obviously that the state cares enough to know what these local water management authorities are doing, and we want to be involved in helping them be the best they can be. And just knowing that someone is watching and caring, I think, is really what we're all about with this program, is making sure that we're systematically watching and caring about how they do their work. So with that, I'll turn it over to Don, and he can tell you where we've been and where we're going.
Okay. Thank you very much, and Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, it's a pleasure for me to be here. I would like to draw your attention to the one page.
Mr. Buckhout, if you could just say your name for the record.
Yes, it's Don Buckhout, and I'm the program administrator for the Performance Review and Assistance Program with the Board of Water and Soil Resources. Well, thank you. If you look on your briefing sheet that I prepared for today's briefing, you can see that what Don just said is really, in addition to the guiding principles set by the board, we want to make sure that Minnesota's delivery system for conservation of water and soil resources is the best it can be. And while there may be local units of government out there that are part of that delivery system that are concerned about additional state oversight, it's really my intent in this program to encourage and take note of successes, as well as to help those local units of government to be the best they can be. Bowser depends on the local delivery system for the accomplishment of our mission. And so it's in our direct interest, as well as we believe in the interest of all the citizens of the state, to have a good delivery system. PRAP, which is the acronym that we came up with, standing for Performance Review and Assistance Program, really focuses on four aspects of local governmental unit performance in this arena: administration, planning, execution of the planned objectives, and communication and coordination with partners and stakeholders. And those are the elements of performance that we want to be able to track and report on. In 2007, John has already mentioned some of the accomplishments of this program, which was its beginning year. Hired a program administrator with the funding that was provided for this this fiscal year. Engaged the stakeholder advisory team, and Appendix B in the report and lists the members of that team. And putting that team together, we contacted the heads of the three major state organizations, the Minnesota Association of Watershed Districts, the Minnesota Association of Stormwater Conservation Districts, and the Minnesota Association of Counties to handpick people that they would like to represent their particular points of view and the interests of their organizations on that advisory team. We also added a federal representative from the Natural Resource Conservation Service and some all of the staff. That advisory team met, I believe, three times last fall in helping us design the program, and we just had a meeting last Friday again, and I plan to use those people, as long as they're willing to continue to meet, to find and report on progress as we continue to design the program. The other major accomplishment, 2007, was to design the program. If you flip the sheet over, you'll see a table on the opposite side, and I'd like to take a moment. This gives you a general overview of the program as it's currently designed. You can see, if you look across the headings of the columns, in the middle there are three major activities of the TREC. The performance review activity, the assistance activity, and the reporting activity. And those activities are carried out at four different levels, and those levels are listed down the left-hand side of the table. I'd like to just briefly go through what those three levels entail. The first one, level one, which is under our current funding, fully funded, is routine, and the emphasis is on routine monitoring and tabulation of the required reports, plans, etc., that local units of government are to provide to Bowser. And the primary period of time that we're going to be focusing on this is the July to November period in anticipation of our year-end reports and our reports to the legislature. This is something that we will do on an annual basis. It includes looking at each one of the approximately 250 local units of government to make sure that they've got their documents, their financial reports, and that their plans are up to date. In terms of the assistance component, we, depending on the need and the interest, will be providing some training of a general nature that we would expect several different LGUs to participate in. And we will be providing regular reports both on our website and in our annual report to the legislature. We're also hoping that, and we'll be encouraging the local units of government to do their own reporting. As I'm sure most of you know, local units of government now have requirements for their own websites, and we'll be monitoring how well they're doing at complying with the requirements for websites. But we're going to encourage them to put this information on their own website so that their stakeholders can keep track of their performance. In level two, this is again a routine level of performance review and targeted assistance. Level two really focuses on the requirement in statute to once every 5 years at least review progress toward planned objectives. And prototype that we've developed for this level two of review includes a performance checklist, and in the back of the blue covered report you'll see five different checklists that we'll be using in level two, and these are designed to address the performance standards for each of the five different types of local units of government that we're working with. Another aspect of this is very detailed assessment of progress toward planned goals. Now, we're looking not at Bowser's plan goals, but the goals that the local unit of government adopts for itself in its own plan. How well are they doing on achieving the goals that they've set for themselves? And as I mentioned, that's once every 5 years. The other thing we'll be doing in those performance reviews is trying to uncover any issues that either they identify or we identify that may be affecting their overall performance. And if we uncover things like that, or if the LGU requests assistance, we hope to be able to provide the assistance that would be needed or targeted to the specific needs or issues that they've got. I want to mention that under the current funding scheme, and I'll get into this in a little bit more detail later, is for level two, we're only able to do what we're calling a pilot application. We hope to test our level two prototype review with 6 or 7 local units of government of different types, watershed districts, SWCDs, and counties during this year. If the program can be fully funded, then we will be doing 50 LGUs per year of level two. That's basically, if you do the math, 250 once every 5 years. That's 50 LGUs per year. Level three really gets into what is called prescriptive assistance. That's where we've uncovered where the LGU has volunteered specific issues or areas where they're having problems in their performance or carrying out their planned objectives. And we would hope under the level three type of assistance to be able to go in and do some targeted either in-depth assessments, doing stakeholder surveys, possibly mediation if that's called for. There are a variety of tools that can be applied depending on what the needs are and what the issues are. In level four, we hope we never have to get to level four, but the statute did provide Bowser with the authority to actually apply penalties to LGUs that are what I would call chronically underperforming. And again, the purpose here is not to punish people, it's to correct deficiencies in performance. But if the LGU is not able to do its own self-correction with Bowser's assistance, then the Bowser Board does have the authority to withhold grant monies if that is applicable in the case of that LGU. So like I said, we hope we never have to do that, but if we do have to, we plan to use that tool and that approach. Going back to the other side of the sheet, we're back on program accomplishments. In 2007, we did conduct limited level one performance review, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And then the other thing we did was prepare this first annual report to the legislature. Looking at 2007, our performance review focused on two level one indicators. And the first one was management plan status. If one of the key aspects of this program is to determine how well the local units of government are achieving their planned objectives, they have to have an up-to-date management plan. And so we did a very complete survey of all of the local units of government in the state to determine which ones didn't have completed or up-to-date management plans. And we found that all the SWCDs either have plans that are up-to-date or by resolution, many of them have adopted the county local water plan as their management plan. And those are all current. All of the county local water plans are current, or they have extensions granted by Bowser that will allow them to make those plans current. With watershed districts, we did find that there were 8 plan updates that were overdue, and those are listed in Appendix C of the report. Watershed management organizations, which are all metro area joint powers boards, there were 4 of those organizations that did not have their management plan up to date. I know that several of these latter two LGUs are working on their plan updates, some faster than others, but they were all sent letters at the end of 2007 notifying them that Bowser is aware of the fact that their plan updates are overdue and that the information would be published in the reports of the legislature. The second,
Mr. Buckle,
yes.
I'm just looking at the list there. So on the watershed district, Stockton, Williamstown, Minnesota City, and that's in the southeast flood area, and is Riley, Purgatory, and Bluff Creek there as well?
Riley, Purgatory, Bluff Creek is here in the metro area. That's Eden Prairie, Bloomington area. The second indicator that we wanted to track was submittal of audit or financial report. In reviewing the information that was available to us, and this is as of January 25th, which was the date of the information that we put in the report to the legislature, these have almost without exception been submitted by now. But SWCD's 37 of the 40 required audits had been completed. The deadline for those was the end of the year, calendar year 2007. SWCD's, there were two financial reports that were overdue for which Bowser assessed penalties earlier in the year, and those were since that time submitted. For Metro Watershed Districts and Watershed Management Organizations, 31 of the 32 required audits were completed by the deadline, and for Outstate Watershed Districts, 29 of the 31 financial reports were completed as required. Appendix D in the report lists the specific local units of government that these numbers are taken from. Looking ahead to 2008, this current year, these are the activities that we are able to pursue in this program with current funding. The first one, as I mentioned, is we're piloting level 2 performance reviews for 6 or possibly 7 LGUs. And one of the reasons for this is we want to get a handle in preparation for the next budgeting cycle as to how much time it actually takes to do this and to do a thorough review. What kinds of issues are we going to uncover? So that's part of the reason for the pilot, and also this is, we would have liked to have been able to fully implement this level of review, but with the current staffing, we're just not able to do that. Second thing is we are going to be fully implementing our level 1 review. We are currently in Bowser tabulating information that we collect on an annual basis of all 250 local units of government regarding their financial statements, their plan updates, etc. And we're constructing a network-based database that will then serve a spot on our website that public can go to track the performance on an annual basis of any LGU in the state. Hopefully that will be online here within a few months. We're going to be notifying all the LGUs of the report requirements and the schedule for when those reports and statements and plan updates are due. We are going to be providing LGU assistance as staff and funding permit, and this is for, I would say, cases that we're aware of where an LGU may be requesting some assistance. Where we've uncovered some serious performance issues or where we have significant problems with performance. So to the extent that we can, we're going to be providing assistance. And then the other thing we're really looking for in this whole process, and that has already begun, is to search for key performance indicators. In the ecological world, if you're trying to figure out the health of a stream, you don't want to have to sample every aspect of the biota of that stream. Biologists look for what they call key indicators. For example, if there's one particular invertebrate that shows up in a stream, that may tell you a lot about the health of that stream's ecology. And we're going to be looking for the same thing as we go along with this program. Are there certain key indicators that we can track relatively easily and relatively inexpensively that will give us lots of information? And I've just included at the bottom of the sheet a couple of examples, and I'm not saying that these are key indicators, but it's just an example of the kinds of data that we're beginning to monitor in the search for those key indicators of LGU performance. For example, on the left-hand side at the bottom, every year SWCDs are required to submit financial reports if they meet certain criteria, which is if they haven't submitted a report for 3 years, then they're required to, or if they have a total of $500,000 or more of expenditures. And as we look at the performance for the past few years. In terms of submittal on time and with errors, we find that in general, we see some good trends in terms of percentage of reports that are submitted on time with no errors. That's going up. The on time with errors is going down, which is a good thing. We are noticing, though, that the numbers of reports that are being submitted late is kind of hanging in there. It's just under 10% of the SWCDs are having trouble getting their financial reports in on time. And you can see that back for the 2006 report year, we did assess some penalties for a couple of LGUs, SWCDs. Maybe that's an indicator. Certainly, if an LGU, if an SWCD is spending time redoing its financial statement, that's taking time away from other program applications that they could be doing. Another one may be the SWCD of the Year award that's managed by the Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. Every year, SWCDs are invited by MassWid to apply for this award, and they receive a rating depending on the number of points that they self-score. And we've gone back, this data is from the association, we've gone back through the last several years, and you can see that the number of districts applying is hanging in there at about 80%. About 20% of the districts choose not to apply for this award each year. There are some trends that we can see. The number of SWCDs that get a superior rating seems to be creeping up a little bit. The honorable mention category, which is the lowest category, is also creeping up a little bit. So we're taking away from the ones in the middle, and they seem to be distributing themselves to either side. Is this a good indicator of SWCD performance? We hope to continue to monitor this and find out. That concludes my presentation, giving you a brief overview of this program. And I really am looking forward during the next several months to getting out and meeting with individual local units of government. Thank you very much.
Any questions from members? I think it's very thorough, the report looks real good. I mean, this is the type of thing I think when we were looking at this, that, you know, this is where we want to be 1 year out. I do have a concern, and that is that I'm sitting on a working group that's looking at budget cuts, and just, so I will ask Mr. Dashke a question on, I think the Senate had $100,000 budget cut to General Bowser administrative costs, and would that impact this effort at all?
Chairman, if we were asked to make a $100,000 general reduction, it would not be to this program. But as long as you allow me to speak again, I guess I would point out, as you mentioned, you know, the challenge going forward is that, you know, to find the funding to accomplish the evaluations and assistance that the statutory provisions, you know, lay forward. We've also, you know, as Mr. Buckow mentioned, you know, there are some corrective action provisions in the statute. They're largely, though, related only to grant and, you know, fiscal issues. There are some there's some discussion, you know, preliminary certainly, but there are cases where we may need to have some corrective actions where we don't have a fiscal leverage point, and we'll be looking at some of those ideas prior to next year.
Does anyone from the audience want to comment? I know there's folks from the advisory committee and some of the stakeholders. Mr. Bowen.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ray Bona. I'm here representing the Minnesota Association of Watershed Districts. And I would just like to talk a little bit about the other side of the coin here, which is the assistance part. And I think the funding is also critically, you know, critical for that as well. Because as we discussed in the future, this is a partnership between state and local government. And if there's going to be a true partnership, I mean, we're willing to work with Bowser and in terms of the accountability part of it. But we also want to make sure that Bowser has the resources, and we have problems out there on the ground that they can assist us. So that's the other part of that. It's not just, you know, the hammer, so to speak, although it's a pretty light hammer, and we're working very cooperatively with Bowser to make sure that this is done in a way that's as non-threatening as possible. And I think, for the most part, our watershed districts certainly have bought into it. One caution about the indicators, though, sometimes just because a watershed district doesn't have their plan up to date doesn't mean that it's a non-performing watershed district. Because some of our best watershed districts, and the ones that are doing the most, don't have time to do all these reports. Because one of the things that the watershed districts typically, and the ones typically rural Minnesota, run pretty lean and mean. And they have an administrator, maybe one or two staff. And if they're doing a lot of projects, they can get overwhelmed. In fact, I've actually consulted with some of the managers out there about in some of the watershed districts about making sure that they have the staff that they need, not only to do the project, but also to continue to run the watershed district at the same time. So, but with that, I think we're very pleased with the way this is headed.
I don't know if they're mean, Mr. Bowen. I think they're probably effective. I don't know about
it. It depends upon who we can talk to.
Any questions here, Mr. Bowen?
Thank you.
Anyone else? Last meeting. Mr. Dash, I have another question for you on a different subject. Could you update the committee just on the RIM availability of money and follow up to the bonding bill?
Mr. Chairman, members, legislature passed and the governor ultimately signed the bonding bill, which included $25 million for the Reinvest in Minnesota program. And one of the points we were making all throughout that was the leveraging of the federal funding that we expect to get out of the federal farm bill, either the current bill or the one to be soon, hopefully, or potentially, I should say, passed. That funding is available as we speak. We've asked the Department of Finance to approve our setting up the funds to manage that funding, and they have approved those. That funding is now being transferred into those funds, so we have it available to obligate it as soon as the opportunity comes along to line up with that federal appropriation that's either current or forthcoming.
Thank you. Does anybody want to address the committee on any other item? We will look at the possibility of having maybe a meeting or a tour during the summer to look at feedlot issue potentially, some of those issues. If the various groups could keep the committee informed of when they have their summer tours, and so we can make sure people are aware of those, get out and see projects out in the field. With that, unless there's anything else, meeting is adjourned.